start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Kyle Busch survives the gateway of the West and climbs further up the all-time wins list. And now we head west for road course race number two. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic and Adam Stern from the Sports Business Journal.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. Presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Jordan and Adam here. Man, we got lots to talk about this week. And I tell you, Jordan, as you look at what happened at Gateway, I think this change of scenery has been pretty good for Kyle Busch. Do we now look at Kyle Busch and think he is a legitimate championship contender?
I don't know if I'd put him in the same category as a William Byron, a Kyle Larson. I'd probably put Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex Jr. in that category. Yes, Kyle Busch has three wins, but consistency race-to-race basis, it hasn't been quite there. There's races where he looks really good. Daytona, Fontana, obviously. Talladega was a little bit of luck, but putting yourself in the right situation. Then obviously Gateway was phenomenal, starting on the pole, leading the most laps, winning the race. But week-to-week consistency, high-level consistency, is not been there for Kyle Busch. I would never rule Kyle out. He's a two-time champion. But I just think he needs a little bit more from that team. You need to see more from that team before you're ready to kind of label him as one of the championship favorites.
What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, I would agree. But at the same time, three wins already. I mean, that's about as good as they could have hoped for halfway through the season or halfway through the regular season. So I would agree with Jordan. He's probably not been the most consistent driver if you look at, you know, relative to a William Byron or a thing like that. But at the same time, three wins at this point is about as good as they could have hoped for. And so they've got to be thrilled at this point, I think.
Well, and he was leading the Daytona 500 at 500 miles.
He was. I mean, he honestly, if you look at the beginning of the year, he almost won the Clash. He almost won the 500. He would tell you that he did if there hadn't been overtime rules. And then he goes out and wins Fontana, and that was great. And since that win, though, there's been weeks where he looks good, and then there's other weeks where they're good, but they're not great. So it's just not that consistent week in and week out butt kicking, kind of like we've seen on the 24 and the 5 particularly, and at times have seen from the 11 and the 19. It's just not there. But Kyle is a really good driver. And if you get in the playoffs, though, winning is everything. Consistency is great, and if that can carry you far, but if you can win, that can erase a lot of mistakes and that can overcome a lot of adversity. I like that team where they're at. And Randall Burnett, his crew chief, is one of the more underrated crew chiefs in the garage. He has been very good at this for a long time, but he's kind of been overlooked now. And he kind of came out of it last year with Tyler Reddick when they won three races. He started to get some shine on him a little bit. And then this year with Kyle, he's really been elevated a little bit. And now people are realizing that he is one of the better crew chiefs in the garage.
I mean, I thought the restarts at the end of the race were riveting with Kyle and Kyle Larson battling, and you know, every time you'd go, you know, it was edge of your seat stuff, Adam.
I thought it was good racing. I thought obviously by the end of it, they restarted so many times and Kyle Busch kept retaining the lead. So I felt like it seemed clear that Larson wasn't going to get into him. He was going to race him clean, and it seemed like the outside lane had the advantage. So it seemed pretty clear by the end of it, no matter how many yellows they threw, that Busch was probably going to win. But it was definitely good racing. And look at how good this next gen has been for RCR. Like Jordan said, last year with Tyler Reddick, now this year with Kyle Busch, I mean, this team has been performing a lot better the last 2 years than you've seen in with the final couple years of the Gen 6.
And the restarts for me were so impressive. Kyle Busch on the last five restarts of that race held the lead. That's incredible. And Kyle Busch is renowned as one of the best restarters in the business. But any slip up there would have opened the door for somebody else. Kyle Larson and him race real clean. They have a long history together. Remember 2018 at Chicago, that back and forth there. So you knew Kyle Larson wasn't going to take advantage of Kyle Busch. But if Kyle stumbles on a restart, spins his tires, is slow, whatever, that bottom lane opens up maybe, and then somebody dive bombs him going into turn one, and then who knows what's up. And then, you know, you just have to be perfect. And he never opened the door. And that was what really stood out to me, was Kyle Busch was perfect when he needed to be. He rose to the occasion, and the whole weekend was just a flawless execution by that eight team. And I give them credit. They have three wins now, which is tied for the series best. And whether the consistency is there or not, you can't take away the wins. And right now, they have the second most playoff points. I don't think anybody predicted that when Kyle Busch joined RCR.
All right, Adam, the most impressive thing to me, when he got out of the car, Kyle Busch did, I heard no boos. Is that the RCR factor?
Yeah, I think it's the Chevrolet factor, and absolutely. I mean, now he's kind of in this vein of trying to become Dale Earnhardt Sr. to an extent. It'll never exactly be him, of course. He doesn't want to be Dale Sr.'s Dale Sr., but, you know, Richard Childress has brought him over to win championships. He's off to a hot start, but it has certainly been fascinating. You know, now kind of getting a lot of cheers. Last year and the years before, of course, was a lot of boos. Now we've got, you know, Denny Hamlin taking the brunt of the bruise after, you know, the Chase Elliott deal. So, yeah, it's certainly been an amazing switch. And, look, Kyle seems really happy right now. I mean, I think you've seen commentators note it. You've seen people in the garage note it. He's got some sponsors that he seems to be excited with. You know, now he's won three times, and these free chicken tenders from Cheddar's Kitchen, three different times that he gets to give out to America. He seems excited by that. Gave him a shout-out on air after he won this past Sunday. So it seems like he's having a good time, and I think, you know, that'll pay dividends. You know, you have to have a driver. Obviously, we saw last year he was frustrated. Results started not being as good. So you want your driver to be very enthused, and he seems like he is right now at RCR.
The thing is about Kyle, he never – so many guys, Jordan, you need good guys and bad guys. Mm-hmm. And Kyle has been the one guy who never minded wearing the black hat.
That's great.
Because guys who get booed a lot, we've seen it over the years, It really bothered them.
Absolutely.
It bothered Kurt. It bothered Darryl Waltrip. Mm-hmm. And Kyle was the guy. I mean, to me, the bow is the ultimate, okay, fine. Boo me. Yeah. I don't care.
It's not even just a bow, though. It's getting out of the race car at I believe it was Chicago, when that battle with Larson. He gets out and he rubs his eyes like people are crying. And he was embracing it. And that was the best thing about Kyle Busch, is he really, towards his latter years with JGR, embraced it. Realized that, listen, I'm never going to win these fans over. They're always going to hate me for one reason or another. I'm just going to be the bad guy. And it was great. And he would say things in the media. He would do things. It was like watching a professional wrestler turn heel, and he was doing it. And NASCAR needs that. NASCAR is at its best when there are villains, when there are drivers to root against. You go back in the day, whether it was Walter, Rusty Wallace, Dale, you always need that villain. You always need somebody that your hero needs to beat. Kyle Busch played that so well, and then he was able to back it up on the racetrack and win multiple championships and be the most successful, one of the most successful drivers of his era, went a long way too to kind of saying, hey, you can boo me all you want to. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to go win championships. I'm still going to go in races.
And now, what's happening? He's getting cheered. Adam, let's go. Who are we going to? Well, I guess we got Denny Hamlin now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like Jordan said, like, he really embraced it. So he didn't really necessarily seem like he needed the cheers. He kind of grew into the role of being that heel. But at this point, of course, who's not going to accept the cheers and the adulation? And so we'll see who becomes the next heel. At one point, it looked like it was maybe becoming Ross Chastain, but he's kind of fallen off the pace the last couple of weeks after his kind of public dressing down from his team owner. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Speaking of Ross, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Denny Hamlin's going to be in that role for a little bit. Ross Chastain certainly has the opportunity to embrace it. We'll see if he can kind of turn around these last 3 weeks of how he's ran. But I don't know who that's going to be. I mean, you don't really have a driver on the racetrack who's really kind of ready to carry that mantle. And the important thing is, too, you have to be able to back it up on the racetrack. You can't just be a bad guy to be a bad guy. You got to be a bad guy who wins.
Well, and that's the word. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not only, you know, I mean, Darryl Waltrip was like that, you know, for the older fans like me. Mm-hmm. Darryl Waltrip, Cale Yarborough called him Jaws.
Yeah.
And
Darryl wanted to fight people in the parking lot at Kmart.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, it's like, but that's the key. The key is, can you go out there and back up what you're saying? Mm-hmm. You talk big and then you go out and back it up. And that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
That makes the fans hate you even more, because not only do you say you're going to beat their guy, but then you go out and do it, Adam.
Yeah, I think Ross Chastain is ready to accept the role. But, you know, as we've seen the past couple of weeks, he was kind of asked to dial back his driving a little bit, and now he's a little bit off the pace. So we'll see. I thought Noah Gregson could be a guy who could eventually be that, but he's got to run a little bit better. Unfortunately, Legacy MC hasn't run as well this year as they did last year in their final year of the Petty GMS banner. So we'll see if he could eventually take that banner. But he's the guy who took on Ross Chastain. I think that tells you something.
Now, I want to talk about those guys a little bit, because it was interesting that Noah Gregson made an interesting comment when he got out of the car and coming out of the care center this week. And it's kind of early in the year to be making the comment he made. And we'll talk about it when we come back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Did you know 1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store. Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit GoPRN.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
The grassroots is where the hometown heroes of Friday and Saturday nights are and where the future stars of NASCAR are made. The stories and journeys from the grassroots are always unique. Whether it was the excitement of her championship at the track her grandparents helped build, the loneliness of his first win without his father there to hug him in victory lane, or the track their mama warned them about, PRN's At the Track covers the people of America's baddest bull rings. PRN's At the Track, relentless passion for grassroots racing.
You think of all the things that really just in the last 25 years have happened, the champions that we've seen. That's what I think is really cool about it.
I just believe the addition of Kyle Busch to RCR and what I saw at the tail end of last year, I think Austin Dillon could win three or four races this year.
When I think of somebody that's a mortal lock, I think of somebody that has great consistency. And there are only four drivers right now that have been in five championship four playoff races.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with Adam Stern from the Sports Business Journal and Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. And Adam, I thought it was an interesting comment from Noah Gregson coming out of the care center after a really, really hard hit. And it's been a rough year. I mean, right now you're looking at Noah Gregson is sitting there, gosh, 32nd in points. And, you know, his teammate, Eric Jones, 26th in points. Legacy Motor Club is really struggling. But he said in his interview, he goes, I'm just ready for this year to be, just I want to get to the end of this year. And I'm not sure a lot of fans maybe really understood. It's hard to be a fan here. You know, we're not even halfway through the full season, and he says this. But let's keep in mind that right now, Legacy Motor Club has already announced they're going to Toyota next year. So they're basically persona non grata at Chevrolet. Chevrolet's giving them no help at this point, outside of what I'm sure contractually they have to, but I'm sure they're not involved in meetings. If they call to get time in the Chevy, you know, simulator, I'm sure it's already booked. So this is a tough thing. So I'm almost wondering, why did Legacy Motor Club announce it, do you think, as early as they did?
Yeah, I think really, you know, you had Jimmy Johnson come in this year. They wanted to, you know, improve the team. Obviously, they've kind of moved backwards on the track this year, but they really wanted to move forward even from where they were last year. And so I think they started looking right away into what they can do with OEM support. They felt they were a little bit down the pecking order at Chevy. So they started talking to Toyota. Of course, Toyota has won a lot of championships, you know, recently with Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, 2311 has come out pretty strong since they've been a team. So they've got a good reputation of late in NASCAR, and they must have gotten a pretty good deal. And once the deal was done, I just feel like they wanted to own the announcement. They most likely felt like if they sat on it for some amount of time, then it could leak out to the media and they wouldn't get to own the announcement. So I just feel like the deal was done. They wanted to get it out there.
Jordan would have been all over it.
So would Adam. That's what we do, right, Adam?
That's exactly right. I mean, Adam's right. I mean, they wanted to get it out there. And the other thing is, too, this is a rebuilding year. This was always going to be a rebuilding year with Jimmy Johnson coming in, despite what then the team known as Petty GMS accomplished last year with Eric Jones winning the Southern 500, which was really impressive. They knew going this year, new management, new people behind the scenes, and just and everything that entails. Plus, you're bringing in a rookie driver, Noah Gregson. Luke Lambert joins as the organization as a crew chief. So this was always kind of a rebuilding year. And I think when I hear Gregson's comments, I can get why some fans are like, well, you know, what's going on there? But he's right. This was a tough year. This was a year where you have to put the pieces in place. You have to get the pieces and then try to put them in place. And the Toyota element is, the quicker you make that announcement, the quicker you can move on to Toyota and you can start working with them and again building that relationship and getting the resources and everything else you need, and you have more of a runway then. So it just makes sense. And they were never really getting much from Chevrolet to begin with. I mean, they were well down the pecking order. I mean, they were
they were never going to move up the pecking order, because you look at the teams ahead of them, Hendrick, Trackhouse, RCR, it's like that's a pretty great group of teams there. You're not going to jump them. And so you got to look at your future, and their future makes sense with Toyota, where they're going to go to an OEM that has shown they have the ability to run up front and win races in bulk. And they have an OEM that is hungry for more teams. So now they're not going to be ignored anymore, and they're going to get a little bit more, you know, on the back end with the resource end.
I would assume that contractually they couldn't go to Toyota before the end of this year, or maybe even Toyota may not be ready to add the teams yet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, these deals are always set up for the following year. But, you know, at the end of the day, like Jordan said, it gives them time to get ready. You know, you look at the situation last year with Chevrolet and RCR when they kind of announced that, you know, 2311 announced that they were going to take on Tyler Reddick. You know, they had to work out a buyout. You know, so when you announce these things, you get to start just working on various things behind the scenes that are going to be better. To Jordan's point, you know, now it's out there that maybe that can help them in different ways in terms of getting their preparation ready with Toyota for next year. So it just makes sense to get it out there. And look, they were struggling. I think Legacy Motor Club was struggling this year, even before they made this announcement. So yeah, you know, they probably have been shut out of some meetings and some simulator time and whatnot, but they were already struggling this year before they made that announcement. So I don't think that's the only reason.
They were one of the teams that had some problems with the brake rotors, obviously, at Gateway. And that was an interesting issue, Jordan, as you looked at it. And, you know, there were not everybody obviously had problems, but some teams had problems. It's such a unique track with the long straightaways and the tight turns. It's like an extended, I mean, New Hampshire is similar, but it's not, you know, it's a mile track.
New Hampshire's got a little bit more sweeping corners too, yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
And they were saying, I guess, because in the case of Gateway, you have the, or Worldwide Technology, whatever.
It's Gateway. It's
Gateway.
Make it easy.
What they have is, you know, you're on the brakes so hard through the corners, but then they have a chance to cool off the straightaways. So it heats up, cools down, heats up, cools down, and that may be the issue. So, you know, I would assume going into next year, they got some challenges, because we saw some pretty good racing there.
Yeah, I mean, you go back a year ago, we had the same issue. If I'm not mistaken, Kevin Harvick had a brake issue late in that race, and we saw a couple other issues as well. So to your point, this is kind of a Gateway issue. We haven't seen it with the next-gen car at other racetracks. Now that there is two races as you can use as a sample size, you could say, okay, we need to kind of focus on what we can do for the brakes. This isn't just a one-off. What can we do? I would expect that there's probably going to be a different brake package used there next year to kind of prevent this problem or help curb it to some degree. The racing, other than that, it was fine. I mean, it wasn't the most memorable race you're ever going to, you know, you're not going to look back and go, oh my goodness, remember that Gateway race? But it wasn't. I've seen a lot worse.
Yeah. And you had a couple guys in different rides. Did we learn anything? Did Corey LaJoie prove anything? And everybody said, this is his great opportunity. He's in the nine car. He's in a great ride. Didn't have a great finish. And, you know, I know the Hendrick cars struggled pretty much throughout the day. They definitely struggled in qualifying. Carson Hocevar, an opportunity in the Cup Series. And I think, by and large, people felt pretty good about what he was doing before he had the brake rotor problem.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of LaJoie's struggles. I mean, clearly it wasn't a good day for him. It wasn't a good qualify for him. So kind of the whole weekend was bad. You know, I don't think that necessarily it wrecks the future of his career. I think people still rate him as an up-and-comer to a certain degree. But, you know, it wasn't the most impressive debut. I think it's fair to say that. Josh Berry's debut with Hendrick wasn't the most impressive. I mean, he kind of improved in the second and third races. So, of course, this was just a one-race suspension. So Corey won't get that chance in this case, but nonetheless, obviously it wasn't a super impressive debut, but it's not the end of the world. I think he'll still be rated highly, and we'll see kind of what his future is. And Hocevar certainly performed well before he crashed out, so he did nothing but raise his stock.
Yeah, I mean, Corey's weekend just did not go at all. I mean, he said, listen, this is an opportunity for me. I want to hop in that car. I want to be able to impress people. He's talked about this for a long time, about getting this opportunity, and qualifying hits the wall in qualifying. Qualifies poorly. Qualifies behind Carson Hocevar. Then the race, first lap, hits the kill switch. And then the race itself, they never got the handling on the race car. He struggled all day. And for a little bit, it looked like, okay, this is kind of a Hendrick thing, because Kyle Larson was running really right next to LaJoie for a good stretch there. But then Larson, they figured out his car. He got better, and he almost won the race. They never figured out that nine car. And part of it was they had no SMT data and everything else, and crew chiefs were really kind of operating with one arm behind your back. So then you're looking at a crew chief working with a driver he's never worked with before, and a driver working with a team he has no experience with. It's a struggle, and that's what it was. And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality. But you look at Corey's body of work and the fact that what he's done this year in the seven with the seven team, who doesn't have the resources that a lot of other teams do, it's really impressive. And you can't look at that and say, this guy does not deserve an opportunity with a bigger team. He does. His body of work shows that. This was just a bad spot. And to Adam's point, Las Vegas, where Josh Berry stepped in, was bad. Now, there's a mechanical issue there that kind of hindered that a little bit, but it was not a weekend to remember in any respect. He said, oh, wow, looks like Berry's got this. And even the couple of weeks after that, as he kind of was filling in, many of those races, Berry started off slow, and they would be a struggle. And then by stage two sometime, they would kind of figure it out, and he would climb up at the end. It wasn't like he was going out there and just running up front every single lap of the race. It was a struggle to get there, but that's part of it. It's not as easy as a lot of drivers say it is, and they learn this, going from one team to another, and you're just, you know, it's a wealth of information, you new people, new situation, and then you factor in that, you know, the crew chiefs were struggling a little bit because they didn't have the same resources. You know, it wasn't the weekend, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, they do things like move the kill switch.
There's that too.
Well, I saw that he said that he couldn't find kind of his handling with, you know, the car. And I mean, to me, it's just kind of wondering, you know, was that him? Was it something about the car? Because to Jordan's point, obviously Larson figured it out. So it was tough to tell, but he'll get another opportunity.
Yeah. Hey, each week in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to GoPRN.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question goes back to the winner of the race, Kyle Busch. Now 63 wins. He is ninth on the all-time list. How many wins do you think he ends up with in his career? Here are your choices. 65, 70, 76. I know that's not a rounded number. Of course, 75 wouldn't have been a round number.
This is a hard question.
76 is Earnhardt's number. That's where he's at.
Yeah.
Or 80 or more.
He's got 63?
He's got 63 now.
Ooh.
So we'll see what you guys think. Last week we asked you, who was right in the Hamlin-Elliott dust-up? Interesting. You guys think that Denny Hamlin was right in the dust-up. Just barely, though. Neither gets second, and Chase Elliott gets third. Well, NASCAR agreed with you guys and said Chase Elliott was not right. And also, Chase Briscoe and his team, not right. We'll talk about that major, major fine and suspension, biggest I've seen, when we come back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Win the battle against rust and corrosion with PB Blaster at O'Reilly Auto Parts. PB Blaster quickly busts loose rusted, corroded, or frozen parts. PB Blaster is great for everything from bolts to frozen locks. Right now, pick up an 11-ounce bottle of PB Blaster for just $6.99, plus get 2x O Rewards points. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Music City will be rocking June 23rd through the 25th with a different sound, the sound of NASCAR.
Start your engines!
The Ally 400 is back at Nashville Super Speedway, and this year, it's a night race. NASCAR in Nashville. It's guitars and fast cars under the lights. Visit NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com to get your tickets for the triple header weekend, including the Ally 400, Tennessee Lottery 250, and the Rackley Roofing 200 today.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey there, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Z-Max Racing Country Classic.
Hey, we're back. Come on to Nashville. It's Kathy and Vince Gill.
Who do you find it hardest to keep up with, musicianship-wise?
I just feel like an adequate guitar player compared to some of the people that I just love and admire and really think are spectacular. The majority of the people that I learned to play the instrument from are still around.
Z-Max Racing Country Classic.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, Back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
If you're driving around and your check engine light is on, little advice, don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and let their professional parts people scan and diagnose the problem for free. They'll even help you find a repair shop if you need one. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today. We appreciate O'Reilly Auto Parts' support of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters, along with Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic and Adam Stern from the Sports Business Journal. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. We haven't had a chance to talk about the huge penalty that came out last week for the Chase Briscoe team at Stuart Haas. Biggest fine and penalty I've ever seen. And this is just massive when you talk about it. A 6-race suspension, $250,000 fine, massive amount of points that's dropped Chase Briscoe all the way to 30. Well, he's now 31st in the standings, and he's minus 25 in playoff points. And, you know, the really, Jordan, to me, and the money is obviously important. But sure. You start talking, even if he wins a race now and gets in the playoffs, he's going to have a really hard time getting out of the first round.
He's almost in a double must-win situation. He must win to make the playoffs, and then if he makes the playoffs, he must win to advance out of the first round. And actually, probably even there fourth, because you're always going to be behind the eight ball a little bit. It's going to be interesting. This was huge because, you know, we've seen teams get busted for messing with next-gen parts and pieces. NASCAR was very adamant when this all came down a year ago. This is the way it is. You cannot mess with these parts. They are, you know, supposed to be universal. They're all supposed to be the same. And if any, you know, modifying them is going to be met with heavy sanctions. This was unique, though, in the sense that this wasn't them modifying a part. This was a counterfeit part, which means they tried to replicate it. That's a whole different level. And NASCAR responded accordingly. And I think what is interesting to say is that they made it very clear, if this continues, they're going to even come down harder. So this was the first and maybe the last, but probably not, penalty for something like this, because it's important to know this past offseason was the first time these teams actually had the cars intact in their shops where they could look at them, tweak them, kind of figure out what they could do and what not do. A year ago, they were still figuring out the rules for this. They didn't even know that really until mid-January. This offseason was different. So you give these crew chiefs and engineers time to devise ways to make a car better. They're going to find the gray area, and they're going to find little loopholes. That's what they do. Kudos to them. That's kind of their job. In some levels, I admire it. But also, you have to understand that you can't do this. And when you get caught, NASCAR is going to slap you. Not just slap your wrist. They're gonna whack it. And they whacked them good.
I mean, that's the thing, Adam. You look at this fine, and, you know, I know fans wonder, why didn't they catch in a regular inspection? I mean, this was a random. You know, Chase Briscoe going back there was a random. He finished 20th in the 600. And they took him back there as a random. Now, were they tipped off by somebody else? You know, a lot of times that happens. These guys are next to each other in the garage area. But I've got to believe that it was something that the advantage was somewhere internally in the car. But, you know, somebody saw that it wasn't, it had to have looked pretty similar to what the part was supposed to look like. We're going to see it at Sonoma this week.
Yeah, one thing to keep in mind is NASCAR is not just handing down these penalties for the heck of it because they like handing out penalties. They face pressure from some of these team owners to say, hey, we want this with this next-gen car. This is a spec car, and we don't want any cheating anymore. So they face pressure privately from team owners who said, like, we need you to give out huge penalties because if we're going to come into the sport and stay in this sport as team owners, we need to have a level playing field. Now, at the same time, we've seen many teams get caught for various cheating infractions during the Gen 7 era. So it seems like it continues to kind of be a, if you're not cheating, you're not trying kind of MO in the garage, which to Jordan's point, I think you kind of got to say is admirable to a degree and also kind of silly on the other end. But, you know, certainly it seems like teams are continuing to push it to the limit. And yeah, I mean, it was a random inspection, but it was quite curious given that he had finished so poorly. But in any event, to Jordan's point, I mean, counterfeit is kind of that next level. It wasn't just modified. So huge penalty.
Yeah, I mean, always operating in the gray area has always been that kind of wink, wink, operate in the gray area. But yet the counterfeit part, do you think they've got everybody's attention now, Jordan, or will we see more of this down the road?
They're going to see more of this. You always see more of this. You thought they would have people's attention after last year when you had everything going on at Daytona in speed weeks.
Well, and Atlanta with Keselowski.
And then later with Brad and then Keselowski. And then later with Front Row. And then Stuart Haas Racing later in the year. So there's always teams that are going to be pushing it, and there's always whatever that limit is, teams are going to go right up against it. And frankly, they're going to try to go beyond it. That's just the nature of professional sports, right? I mean, you tell a team that they can't hold on a football team. Well, guess what they're going to try to do? They're going to try to devise a way they can get away with holding. It's just the way it is. And yeah, but it's also NASCAR's job to respond and to try to give the decentivized teams for penalizing. And if you look at now where Chase Briscoe's 14 team is at, they're in a bad spot. And so now you have to ask yourself, well, is it worth it or not? And that's a question that only Stuart Haas Racing can ask. I don't know if they would take that again, though. I, you look at these penalties, and they're in a world of hurt.
Well, and Adam, you made a great point that NASCAR is basically, you know, they're having to come down on this thing. And a lot of fans are kind of going, well, wait a minute. You know, NASCAR is going to find themselves out of teams, and they're going to find themselves out of a sport. And it's no. The team owners, as you said, the team owners are the ones that have asked NASCAR to help control cost. They basically said, protect us from ourselves. Keep us from spending millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to make our cars going faster. And NASCAR says, all right, fine. Then we'll enforce the rules. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, and you can look at this as like the teams trying to be, you know, unique and gain an advantage. But another way to look at it is cheating, ultimately. And so, you know, NASCAR kind of has to enforce it. And it's with any sport. You know, if you're going to try and convince people to come into your sport and be team owners, you need to be able to tell them that it's a level playing field. And so I do think, to Jordan's point, we'll continue to see teams push the limit we always have. There was a pretty interesting one a couple of weeks ago where one of the teams modified the part where during inspection it looked right, but after inspection they could have gone and tweaked it a little bit. So these teams are getting, you know, there was concerns from some people who loved the creativity of building these cars when we went from Gen 6 to Gen 7 that might go away, but we're continuing to see teams try and be pretty unique, creative.
I'm just wondering, and nobody has talked about this, and we won't know, Jordan, but that's one of four Stuart Haas teams. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if at least one of the other Stuart Haas cars had this the same type counterfeit part at the 600, and we don't know because none of them were taken back.
It's a great question, and it's part of a larger issue because you go back to Richmond this year when Kyle Larson won that race and the 19 with then Josh Berry finished second. Well, that week, they pulled the other Hendrick cars, the 48 and the 24, back to the R&D center. They were later penalized for having for basically having illegal parts, right? And so, but the 5 and the 9, who finished first and second, were not caught with anything because they were not taken back to the R&D center. So it begs, it just, you think about this, and you have to wonder if now the policy going forward might be a thing of, we're not just going to pull one car from an organization back. If we're going to pull a car to take it back to the R&D center, we're going to pull all of them, or we're going to pull multiple, because we want to make sure across the board we need to be diligent. It wouldn't surprise me if this is the case, because you have to think that this wasn't just on one Stuart Haas racing car. Maybe not been on all four, because sometimes they like to divide it up on two and two in terms of what teams are trying. But to think that this is just one team in an isolated incident, it's hard to believe.
You feel the same way, Adam?
It's hard to say, but I would tend to agree. You would think, you know, unless to his point, they just wanted to try it on one. But, you know, you would think they were trying on multiple. It's hard to say, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting question. And like I said, we won't know the answer, because I'm sure once NASCAR made the call to Stuart Haas, if there were
they quickly
there were,
got yanked off.
Yeah, as if there were some guys burning the midnight oil. Woo. Real quickly. All right. When we come back, Fox makes their last telecast of the year this week, and we're going to check with Adam and see what's going on for that 2026, is it 2025? 2025 TV contract. Stay with us.
Are you or someone you love struggling with an addiction to drugs or alcohol and want to be set free from the chains of addiction? Then call Addiction Helpline America right now to get the help you need. From drug and alcohol addiction to dual diagnosis treatment, we provide a confidential helpline to help people like you get sober and live happy, substance-free lives.
Treatment helped me get my life back. I was so addicted, the only person I could focus on was myself and what I needed. I hit rock bottom and lost everything. Through treatment, I was able to overcome those demons and focus on my family again.
I used until I overdosed and almost died. That was the end of the road for me. After seeking treatment, I now have hope. I learned skills that help me deal with life on life's terms.
800-646-4407. 800-646-4407. 800-646-4407. That's 800-646-4407.
More
of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And hey, welcome back, along with Adam Stern from the Sports Business Journal and Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, Adam, this is the last race for Fox for this season, at least except for the Truck Series. So as we look ahead, this will be their last race this year. They have one more year on the TV contract. So what do we know about the negotiations for 2025 and beyond?
Yeah, you know, NASCAR's, they've probably taken a break on it this week, of course, as they're in Le Mans, but they've been working on this pretty hard this year, particularly the past month or two after their non-exclusive window, after their exclusive window, you know, expired and they were able to go talk to everyone else. So at this point, they're pretty far along with, you know, talks with NBC and Fox. It seems like both NBC and Fox want to renew. It doesn't seem like there's going to be any sort of seismic changes there in terms of, you know, it doesn't seem like NBC is going to get the Daytona 500. That was something that they talked, from what I understand, to NASCAR about wanting. But, you know, Fox is kind of the incumbent, and it seems like they're most likely going to be able to retain that first half of the season, and NBC will be the second half. But there's going to be some races that looks like NASCAR is most likely going to claw back from each, and we'll use that to create this digital package that probably will go to Amazon, but it's not 100% yet. They're talking to several different digital media companies, and they'll use that kind of third package to help get a big increase that they can then go show their teams and the industry and the world that you know, they got more money this time than they did last time.
Do you think that they're going to see another? I mean, the last contract was 10 years, which I give Brian Prance credit for that, because you think back between 2005 and 2015, how the media landscape changed in that time. I don't know that I'm not real good at seeing the future like that, but I mean, 10 years is a long time, and how could it change the way it's changed already?
Yeah, you're nailing it. I think from what I understand, NASCAR's media advisors have given them some similar advice. So, you know, Steve Phelps came out, I think, last year at one of our at SBJ's events and said that we're talking about maybe an 8 to 10 year deal. At this point, I think they're probably going to lean closer to 8, but we'll see.
And that's the thing with this TV deal. Some of the people I've talked to is, like, you have to look at different contracts, and 10 years is a long time, because the contract NASCAR negotiated last time, they would not take that necessarily again because it was 10 years and it put them in a little bit of box. And what they did then was they took a bunch of money to be on cable. While cable ended up being a thing that was de-emphasized, and being on national TV was the thing that mattered most. But NASCAR took a cash grab for that. And so you have to look at this and say, if we're going to lock in for 10 years, long-term with an entity, we don't know what this is going to be like in 10 years. You look at some other deals out there, ACC, for example, on their football contract, they're locked in with ESPN until the middle of 2030s. They don't want that deal now. They're in a bad spot. At the time, that deal looked great. Now, not so much. So to Adam's point, I'm hearing 7 to 8 is kind of the number I hear a lot of, because it gives you a little bit of security long-term, but also gives you a little bit of flexibility of saying, hey, we're not locked in for 10. And then when it gets closer to that 7-year, 8-year window, we can better assess where that market's at.
Well, and Adam or Jordan, even, you know, you look at it, and I know that Adam mentioned, you know, maybe a streaming, you know, an Amazon for some races. And I know the immediate reaction is, whoa, wait a minute. I want to be able to see all my races. But the fact is, I mean, even the NFL has announced that they're going to put one of their playoff games on Peacock this year.
Yes. And I will, there's a way to be on streaming and still serve your audience. And having a select number of races is probably the way to go. We see in IndyCar right now, they have one race exclusively on Peacock. I believe it's Toronto again this year. And so if you want to have a 5-6 race schedule of summer races, which is the number I've kind of heard, and I think you have as well, that makes sense, right? You kind of serve your national partners in NBC and Fox, but you also have an opportunity to bring in a streamer and serve that as well. We'll see if it works. And I think, you know, it also is a nice kind of a bridge to see, one, if this works and how does your audience respond? And is your audience able to go to Amazon? Are they willing to go to Amazon and say, hey, we want to be subscribers because we don't want to miss a race? Are they going to be like, you know, I'm okay missing 5-6 races in the summer because I care about the playoffs or I care about the beginning of the year. Summer, I'm out doing things. We'll see. And the interesting thing is, I think for me, I always look at the MLS, the soccer league, and they recently signed a deal with Apple to exclusively be on a streamer. And how do you, when you're exclusively on a streamer, bring in a new audience? Now, your hardcore, diehard fans are going to subscribe, and they're going to find a way to watch the races, right? That's great. But to grow the sport, you have to bring in new eyeballs. But if you're on a streamer, it's really hard to do because people don't flip across streaming and say, oh, I'm going to watch that. It's more of a want to, and they have to go find it. So when you're on a streamer, you've got to figure out a way to get your name out there to an audience and market yourself and say, hey, come watch our product. This is how.
Now, Adam, one of your colleagues reported that the Xfinity series could be entirely on streaming in this new contract. And to me, if I'm a sponsor of an Xfinity series car, I'd be concerned about that.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think, you know, just going back to the broader point, I think, you know, you brought up the NFL. I mean, I think NASCAR learned a lot of lessons from the NFL going to Amazon and putting their Thursday night games exclusively on Prime Video. First time they had done that. Their ratings were within, you know, 80-ish percent of what they were getting on linear TV. That didn't just convince the NFL that streaming can work. It also convinced NASCAR. And so, furthermore, another lesson NASCAR took away is that Amazon Prime Video might be the best option right now. One of the reasons is, of course, is because when you look at things like Apple TV or YouTube TV, those are really just for streaming. But Prime Video is something that people use to get products delivered to their house, and then they also have this streaming product as part of it. And so the number of subscribers that are with Prime Video is significantly more than Peacock and YouTube TV and Apple TV. And that's why I believe NASCAR wants to get with Amazon.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, as we talked about it, I mean, would you be concerned? You know, we talked about the Xfinity thing. Would you be concerned if you were a sponsor of a car? Because I would think it would mean fewer eyeballs.
Sponsor? Yes. But part of this deal, from my understanding, is that the owners, they're going to get a bigger piece of the contract or more money. So it offsets, hopefully, now this is best case scenario, it offsets what an owner is going to maybe have to deal with on the sponsor side, where the owner or the sponsor is going to say, hey, we're going to give you less. The NASCAR owners, the owner is going to be saying, okay, that's fine, but we're okay because we're getting more from the TV deal, so it offsets a little bit. Now, that's great in theory. We'll see if that's actually the case or not. I don't know. I've talked to different owners across the spectrum of the garage. Some are okay with this. Some are a little bit skeptical. And others are kind of in the middle. And they want to see the final numbers and how this checks out.
To Jordan's point, I mean, it's all about what the numbers are, right? So if you're asking a sponsor for X right now, and your NASCAR thinks their viewership for Xfinity races is going to go down by X percent, If they work out that math, then theoretically it should all work out. Now, of course, brands still want to be on national TV, and so there is going to be that conversation. But, you know, if teams get compensated more by league money, and then as a result they're able to ask less from their sponsors, and their sponsors say, well, we don't have to pay as much because we're not getting as much exposure, it could theoretically work, but we will have to see.
I know you said, Adam, that they're outside, obviously, the exclusive negotiation period for Fox and NBC. What's the timeline now before we get the announcement of what's going to happen? Because, you know, like I said, we're coming up on 1 year to go.
Yeah, well, my media reporter at SBJ, John Arand, he is, more dialed in on this than me with kind of the media networks. And he has reported that he's expecting by July 4th, NASCAR should be able to have handshake deals. So that would mean, you know, they'd be a couple months away from being able to paper them and sign them. So it seems like, you know, they're getting pretty close right now that we're in June to figuring this out. And by the 4th of July, they might have handshake deals. And then they might be able to announce them by the end of the year, I would think.
How important, Jordan, do you think having races like this Chicago Street Course race, races in major markets like that,
huge.
is that going to be part of it's an huge. Important part
I mean,
of the deal?
You can go to your partners and say, not only are we're in the number two city in LA for the Coliseum. Now, that's probably going to be done after next year, but hopefully Fontana comes back. And we're in the number three market in Chicago. And we're trying to get a race in New York. You need to be in these markets. And you need to have these opportunities because of all the media attention. And it is proven. The numbers bear it out. When you have these events, whether it's the Clash or the Coliseum, more people are paying attention. More people are watching on TV. And more people are talking about the sport. So it is essential for NASCAR's future that they continue to explore opportunities like this. And that is why they are.
All right. When we come back, it's time for Sonoma, a trip to wine country. Stay with us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Stay cool this summer with AC Pro and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after rebate plus 2x O Rewards points with the purchase of select AC Pro ready-to-use refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. If your vehicle's AC is blowing hot air, beat the heat with AC Pro at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up on your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corey LaJoy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago. To care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Hey, welcome back. We're on with Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic, Adam Stern from the Sports Business Journal, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, heading back to Sonoma, a little trip to wine country for road course race number two. And Daniel Suarez, the defending champion. So Daniel's amigos might have something to cheer about again this year.
Yeah, and he's in a good spot now. I mean, he needed that. He had a really good run at Gateway, ran the top 10 all day, finished in the top 10, moved into the provisional playoff spot, which is big for him because you look at his performance versus Chastain, his teammate at Trackhouse Racing. It is quite divergent. But now going to track where you want it, you're the defending champion. Good opportunity for him to either get a win or maybe pad some more points. He needs that going forward. Trackhouse needs this. I mean, for all of the attention and the buzz and everything we've talked about Trackhouse this year, good and bad, that organization now, it's gone on a year now since they last won a race, which was Suarez at Sonoma. Chastain hasn't won since April at Talladega of 2022. They need a win bad in the worst way. So it's a good opportunity for them to kind of break through and get back in victory lane.
Let's just reiterate what Jordan just said. One of the hottest teams in NASCAR is approaching a year without a win. Now, this is their third year of existence, right? So it makes sense to a certain degree. You know, there's teams that are a lot older than them that have gone a year without a win. But still, for all the hype they have, and rightfully so, they're doing a lot of really cool things. If they don't win this weekend, it will be a official year without a win. So it is fascinating kind of keeping an eye on that right now, particularly, of course, with the Ross Chastain situation, I would say. And you know, we'll see what kind of happens there. But the first couple of weeks now after, you know, his team owner came out and said, hey, we've started this aggressive program with him where we're going to, you know, we want him to stop crashing into stuff as much. He hasn't run as good. So mm-hmm. let's keep an eye on that.
He's dropped the fifth in points.
He has. And to Adam, I mean, Adam's right. I mean, whether it's just a coincidence and you're just kind of in this little mini slump here or there's a greater issue here, this is three races in a row. I mean, it's Darlington. It's four races, actually. It's three. It's the North Wilkesboro, it's Charlotte, and now it's at Gateway. One of those was an all-star race, which, okay, 9 points, whatever, but he was bad there. And that, you know, so when your team owner comes out and says, hey, we need to curb it a little bit, you can't be as aggressive, you got to be smarter, and then you don't want, the follow-up is you're not running as well, you're not leading laps, you're not winning stages, you're not doing the things that made you the points leader, and you fall back to fifth in the points, it's natural to wonder whether there's a correlation between the two. And Justin will say that, hey, we fully support Ross, we don't want him to change, but then why are you trying to change him by being aggressive? Which is it? Because whether it's true or not, he's not running well the last 3 weeks. So maybe it's in his head, maybe it's not, maybe the cars just don't have the speed in them, but you got to be very careful here. And right now you created this uncertainty and this big question mark of whether you kind of caused this. And instead of just riding out the storm and saying, hey, he's our guy, we're going to be fine, you said, no, we're going to kind of rein him in a little bit. And whether you did or not, the results bear proof that maybe you shouldn't have.
Well, and Adam, this is the week, you know, Chase Elliott comes back from his one race suspension. This is one road course he's never won at.
Yeah, I mean, and you would think that would eventually end. I mean, he's been really good at them. But, you know, going back to what Jordan said about Ross, I thought it was interesting to hear Jeff Burton in his podcast with NBC Sports say, like, hey, it's tough to tell a guy to run 93%. You know, when he's kind of always run this way 100%. And so, yeah, I really do think it's something to keep an eye on. I think it's something to keep an eye on, not just for Trackhouse, for the sport overall. This was someone in Ross Chastain that was starting to be built up, rightfully so, mm-hmm. as a star. A lot of people were buying his merchandise. You were hearing a lot about him. So I really think that's something to keep an eye on. And it'll be interesting to see if he can do better this weekend. Of course, like you said, Chase Elliott coming back this weekend, it'll be interesting to see if he can kind of get his first win at Sonoma. He's obviously really good at these road courses. So, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and this will be the second time this year with the second road course race that we have the nonstop end of stages.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And that is a difference maker in strategy. We saw it at Coda a little bit, though. We had one stage where there was a caution. It was just kind of how it follows. But this is a more natural race, if you will. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And Sonoma is as much different than Coda in that you don't see the mayhem and the chaos and the slam, bam physicality that you typically have seen at Coda. You don't see that at Sonoma. So we'll see how this plays out. I'm interested because this has always been a strategy race, or it was before the stages were implemented. Now that the stages are gone, are we going to go back to a strategy race where crew chiefs really can be the difference between winning and losing?
This is what the hardcore fans have been asking for. They said, hey, let's get rid of, you know, some of them, of course, want to get rid of stages at all the races, but certainly they wanted to start at road courses. So to Jordan's point, I think it will be interesting to see, can we get that unique kind of strategy race this weekend? Even if it isn't, you know, a ton of side-by-side racing, that'll keep fans kind of tuned into the last lap.
Well, and that's really what, you know, I think the side-by-side, the double file restarts mm-hmm. helped make road course racing riveting.
Yeah, the restarts are great.
Yeah, and
especially
then,
at Sonoma.
Well, then the strategy, mm-hmm. which you never really knew until after the last round of pit stops, who was really leading the race, and that all kind of came into play, but then you started putting the stage brakes. I think you saw some at Coda with some of the strategy working its way back in, and I think you're going to see that a lot more this week.
I hope so, because it really opens up the playbook for how a crew chief can call this race. And the best thing about no breaks for the stages is it's a blank slate now. A crew chief can call a race how he wants and work his way backwards if he wants, or he can, you know, strategize of, hey, we're going to pit regardless of what's going on in the race at these markers. We saw it at Coda a little bit where it opened up a little bit. But before, though, when you had the stage break, it was very obvious. You had one of two strategies. You either pitted right before the stage break and you gave up stage points if you're trying to chase a win, or if you needed points, you didn't pit and you tried to finish in the top 10 the stage break, and then you'd pit during the break, and then you'd have no chance of winning, or little chance of winning, because of track position. So I like it. I'm glad. Now we just need to see this implemented at other racetracks, Pocono maybe a super speedway, because those races as well are really impacted by these stage breaks.
You just like running races backwards.
Yeah, I do.
All right, when we come back, white flag laps.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your engine against sludge and wear with the synthetic oil change. O'Reilly Auto Parts has 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $35.95, plus get 2 times O Rewards points. Our professional parts people can recommend the supplies you need, including a filter, funnel, shop towels, drain pan, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Night Race. It's as American as Uncle Sam deadlifting 350 while drinking a Busch Light outside his camper in a national park. It's as American as Dale Earnhardt rattling Terry's cage. It's the Bass Pro Shops Night Race at Bristol Motor Speedway, and it's a cutoff race in the NASCAR playoffs. Be there Saturday, September 16th. Get a weekend package today at bristolmotorspeedway.com and see Dale Jr. race on Friday night in the Food City 300. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Wine, NASCAR, not exactly the first pairing that comes to mind, but in Sonoma, it's a classic duo. You've got 12 challenging turns for drivers, beautiful wine country, and high-energy campgrounds. It's a perfect combination all around. And after a weekend of stargazing in the sky and on the track, you'll end up wishing you discovered this classic pairing years ago. The NASCAR weekend at Sonoma Raceway, June 9th through the 11th. Get your tickets for the Toyota Save Mart 350 at SonomaRaceway.com.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At the Track. Visit goprn.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
And welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from the Sports Business Journal, Adam Stern.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to NASCAR for just doing so many different things these days. They've got so many different initiatives running right now. And it kind of is impressive to see. You know, they've got a lot of things going on the business side. They're doing things to appeal and have a larger fan base in the future. But then also this week at Le Mans, I think you've seen a lot of attention this week at Le Mans, and you've seen why they've done it. You've seen people in the sports car world who don't usually pay attention to the sport giving NASCAR more respect this week than I've seen in years in many regards. So I think it's been interesting to see how many different things NASCAR has going on. When we talk about schedule, we talk about all those things, but this week at Le Mans, this has been a long time coming. It was a little bit quiet in the lead up, but I think we're going to see an interesting payoff this weekend for them.
I can't believe neither of you guys got a trip to Le Mans out of the thing.
I don't like flying, so.
Well, that takes you off the list. Next up, it is Jordan Bianchi of The Athletic.
You know, it seems like we knew what to expect in NASCAR. Yeah, Ryan Blaney was in a winless streak, and we didn't know if he was going to win again. Kyle Busch looked so-so, and it looked like, you know, William Byron and Kyle Larson were going to run away with things, right? Well, guess what? We don't really know anything. That's what this season has proved. Ryan Blaney won it. Charlotte. He almost won at Gateway, and now he's atop the point standings. Kyle Busch looks like he found himself a home at RCR, and this season, while maybe doesn't have the same level of unpredictability as last year when 19 different drivers won races, and it seemed like anybody could win on any given week. The championship battle to win the regular season title is much more open. It's much more wide open. It's much more entertaining, and the way things are shaping up going into the summer, it really could be any of one of 8, 9, 10 drivers who end up winning the regular season title. It's different than last year, but this is a much good difference.
Well, I tell you, I think you're absolutely right. But, you know, as you look at this Kyle Busch situation, you know, I think a lot of us have said early in the year that a happy and a motivated Kyle Busch is very dangerous. And we have seen already, just past the halfway point of the regular season, he has already got 3 wins, and he's still happy. So that makes him even more dangerous. And he's not getting booed nearly as much. We talked about it. Yep. He's not old enough to be an elder statesman yet. Maybe just driving for Richard Childress has won over some of the hardcore anti-Kyle fans. He's also alone in 9th on the all-time wins list with 63. Dale Earnhardt is next at 76. Suddenly, Kyle Busch at 38 doesn't look like such a long shot to catch him. Sonoma this week, you catch all the action, Xfinity for the first time ever, and the Cup right here on PRN. Adam, Jordan, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.